This month, beginning today, for the next few weeks at least, we're going to look in Scripture and see how we can be difference makers in the world. How many believe God created you to make a difference somewhere, some way, somehow in someone else's life? I want to do just a little bit of a look back for just a quick moment, if you would, with me, over the fall. This fall, basically, we have done teachings out of the four things that we believe are the steps that people take in their spiritual journey. And our walk with Christ is a journey. And the very first step, we covered that in the month of September, with studying Know God. It all begins with knowing Him, having a personal relationship with Him. I'm saying that thinking today that today is a very interesting day. Today is Advent, the beginning of Advent. Advent is the time that symbolizes that Christ, or God Himself, came down to us. The Bible says that God Himself chose to live in Christ, and He came down to our level. How many of you are grateful that our God came to us when we could not get to Him? And He made it possible for us to know Him or to come into personal relationship with Him. So in September, it was Know God. In October, we moved to the next step, when we believe that is where you need to find freedom. Many people know God. They come to Him in faith. They're forgiven of their sins. They do not find freedom in their everyday walk. And the Scripture tells that He came to give us freedom and liberty. He whom the Son sets free is indeed free, liberated. And then we moved to a third phase, and that was in November, and that was discover purpose. Discover the purpose that God created you for. God created all of us for a purpose. Now, these are things that we go into in our growth track, but in the growth track, we go a little bit deeper, a little bit different direction. We really haven't been teaching all of those things in it. These are just the steps to discover the purpose, the giftings God placed within in you. Each of you are wonderfully made in the sight of God, gifted in certain ways, in certain areas. And we are put on this purpose with a purpose and for a purpose. And that's what I want to begin talking about today. When you discover purpose, you realize the giftings God gave you so that you can do the fourth step, and that is make a difference. Everybody turn to somebody and say, you're a difference maker. I hope it's a difference in a positive nature, but we are all difference makers. God put us here for the purpose of being difference makers. I want to direct your attention to a passage of Scripture, if you will, with me. It's one of my favorite chapters in the entirety of the Bible, and the verses I'm going to read are really not some of the ones. There's some verses in this chapter I have memorized, verses right after this, but these I don't really necessarily have memorized, but there's a reason that I want to read this. John chapter 10, if you want to put your attention there, they'll put it on the screen in a moment. Before we do, I want you to pray, and I want you to ask God to minister to you today, to speak to you today, to teach you today ways in which you can really be a true difference maker, make your life count. Will you join me? Father, in Jesus' name today, I thank you for the Word of God that came to us. The Bible says Jesus, the Word of God, became flesh and dwelt among us. Thank you for coming down to our level. We just want to say thank you this morning. We just want to give you, I'm going to pause right here, church. I want you, in the middle of this prayer, I want you to lift your voice and say thank you, God, for coming down to our level. Thank you for the advent. Thank you for descending to us. God, I thank you and I praise you for it. I magnify your holy name. Thank you that you did not think yourself so high that you could not become so low to come to us. We thank you so very, very much. Teach us now, Holy Spirit, how that Christ in us can enable us to be difference makers. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. John chapter number 10 and verse number 22 says, now it was the feast of dedication in Jerusalem. I want you to remember that statement, please. Feast of dedication in Jerusalem, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then the Jews surrounded him and said to him, how long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. This passage that I just read to you is the only biblical reference to a well-known winter holiday that Jesus celebrated. We're in December now. We're in a month of celebration of holidays. This was a well-known winter celebration in the day of Jesus, something that He celebrated. It is a celebration, a holiday that many people this month will celebrate around the world. You know it by a different name. Now, I'm not talking about, give you a little hint here, I'm not talking about Christmas. You would know it by a different name, not the Feast of Dedication. But beginning tonight, on December the 2nd, tonight, Jewish people around the world will celebrate the Feast of Dedication, commonly called Hanukkah. How many of you have heard the term Happy Hanukkah? That's what it is. It is a celebration among the Jewish people. That is what Jesus was there in the temple celebrating on that day, because the events that created this celebration had happened less than 200 years before Jesus was born. But after the event that we describe as Hanukkah, or what Hanukkah was birthed out of, the Jewish people began to make a big celebration for this reason. What had happened was Antiochus, a Syrian king, an enemy of the people of God, had invaded Israel, the land of the Jews, and had taken control and had begun to desecrate their temple and had begun to institute a Hellenistic way of life, which included idolatry. He desecrated the sacred temple of God. He set up Zeus as the god to be worshipped and to be adored in the temple. He took upon himself the name Epiphanes, which simply means God manifest. He was saying to them, I'm God manifested in your presence. And he demanded by that name that they worship him, Epiphanes, God manifest. Of course, the devout Jews did not. In fact, in my research of this, and I've studied this a lot through the years because of our experiences in Israel, I found it kind of amusing that the name Epiphanes meant God manifest. And he said, call me that. The Jews changed it just a little bit and called him Epiphanes, not Epiphanes, Epiphanes. And Epiphanes means crazy. That's what they'd say behind his back. He's crazy to think that we're going to abandon our God and worship him as God, though he did not allow them the true worship in the temple. In fact, he desecrated it to the point that Antiochus offered a sow, a pig, on the altar in the temple. You could not desecrate anything worse to a Jew than to offer a pig on an altar, and that's what he did. So naturally, there became a resolve within the devout people who followed God to want to bring this to an end, but they were greatly outnumbered. But there was a band of people led by a family by the name of the Maccabees. Judah Maccabee, you may have heard of it in history. He began to lead a revolt and says, we need to go back to worshiping the one true God. Make a long story short, he gathered his ragtag band and army, and they defeated the Syrians and drove them out, retook the temple, and began to worship God in the way that God commanded that they do. It was truly a miracle. And in the Jews looking back to Hanukkah, they are saying that God worked a miracle there. God worked a miracle in that moment. One of the greatest miracles in the whole story, and there's a lot of legend with it, was this. God had told them how they were to worship him. If you go back to the Exodus, when they left the land of Egypt, God showed Moses the new worship in the new place he was taking them to. And in the wilderness, they had a temporary tabernacle. But when they got established in Israel, then they built the temple in Jerusalem, and they followed what God commanded as their way of worship. Now remember, this was 165 years before Jesus. Until that point, this was the way God said to worship him. And one of the requirements was there had to always be a candle burning in the holy place. And they had a certain oil that they had to use to light the candle and to worship God. God commanded this. And so when the Jews drove out at the leadership of Judah Maccabee, they drove the Syrians out. And they wanted to reestablish the worship God had commanded. They knew they had to light the candelabra. And all they could find was enough oil to burn the candelabra for one night. That's all they could find. Why I say that is because they couldn't go just get any oil. When God had given them the command of how they were to worship, he said, the oil you are to burn before me, and I won't describe it, but it is in Scripture, it has to be made of these components, catch this, and it took 8 days to make such an oil. They had enough oil to burn for one night. They had a dilemma. This is how God said to worship him, and we don't have enough to do it. Do we wait for 8 days? But because they were so zealous to return to worshiping God the way he said to be worshiped, they went ahead and lit the candelabra that day, knowing they had not enough for the next 7 days. It would take 8 days to make the oil. And miraculously, that little bit of oil burned for 8 days until they got the oil created. It's kind of reminiscent of the widow of Zarephath, whose barrel ran dry, oil ran dry, but God kept refilling it and kept refilling it. And it was a great miracle, and thus the menorah. They light the Hanukkah, and tonight around the world, Jewish people, they'll show you a picture of a menorah and you'll see why they do it. The eight places, the eight stations on the candle of the menorah, with the center one there, they'll light a candle each night for 8 nights. And for nearly 2,000 years now, a little over 2,000 years, the Jews have been looking back and saying a great miracle happened there. How many of you believe God still works miracles? In fact, Jews say it this way. They say, Nes Gadol Hayasham, which simply means a great miracle happened there. And I want to remind you, that is how God said to worship in that day. Jesus came and brought us a new order of worship. Thankful that we don't have to have all that ritual, that He is the same God. Do you believe that, church? And great miracles still happen today. So on this day of Hanukkah, it is interesting that it's Jewish calendar. And it doesn't fall the same every year like we do our Christmas. Rarely does this happen in history on the same day. They're celebrating the beginning of Hanukkah. We as believers are celebrating the beginning of Advent today, that our God came down in the flesh to us to take away all the ritual and give us the greatest miracle, Jesus Christ. Can you celebrate Him a little bit this morning and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, here's the key to Hanukkah. That I described, plus they had to dedicate again the temple. And that's what the oil was about. A sow had been placed on the altar, and they had to rededicate it unto God. And it was only possible because a band of people dedicated themselves to a cause that was greater than them. They dedicated themselves to a cause greater than them. This church exists because of people who are dedicated. Let me ask you, how many of you enjoy your church family, being part of the church? Can I see your hands? You enjoy being part of the church? Well, it exists because of dedication. God dedicated Himself to come down to us, and as well, we as His followers dedicate ourselves to His cause. How many of you love living in America? You love living in America? I love living in America. We live here because of people who dedicated themselves to a cause. To move any entity forward demands dedication. It demands dedication. I'll be honest with you that as I contemplated this message and started this series of messages, I had so many things in my mind that came to my mind. I wanted to teach on the things that will help us be different difference makers in the earth. And I told my wife one day, I said, I got all this going on in my head and I just wasn't focused on anything. In fact, Friday, I stayed in almost all day, largely over this message, just because of that. And you say, you stayed in Friday? Yeah, because this is my number one job. Did you know that? My number one assignment from God is to see that the word of the Lord is taught here to the body of Christ. That's the number one calling of a pastor. And I'm not supposed to do every Sunday. Have other people. Make sure whoever here can bring you the word of the Lord. Pastor Eric does a great job. Aren't you grateful for him? I'm grateful for him. He does a great job. And we have guest speakers in like Pastor Mike last Sunday. How many of you enjoyed Pastor Mike last Sunday and what he brought us? That's my number one job. That's my number one assignment. So no matter what else might not be going on in the church, if this isn't together, I need to take my time with the Lord. And I was struggling with it. Is it okay if pastor struggles every once in a while? I said, Lord, what do you want? And so as I prayed, I came down to one thing. I said, what is the one thing that if we wanted to be difference makers, what is the one quality we got to have? And it came down to one word, dedication. And that is why I read to you the Feast of Dedication. Jesus was at the Feast of Dedication in the temple. It's not a coincidence that He was in the temple, the place that had been desecrated, but the place that the people of God had rededicated to God, and Jesus came there to celebrate with them true worship. We enjoy it because of dedicated people that have gone before us. I said, do you love living in America? I read this week about the Declaration of Independence. 56 men who signed the Declaration of Independence. This is what I read about some of them this week. Five signers of the Declaration of Independence were captured by the British as traitors and tortured before they died. 12 had their homes ransacked and burned. 2 lost their sons serving in the Revolutionary Army. Another one had 2 sons captured. 9 of the 56 men who signed it fought and died from wounds or hardships of the Revolutionary War. They signed and they pledged their lives, their fortunes, their future, and their sacred honor. You know what kind of men they were? If you were to look into the history of these men, most of them were men of means. They were probably well above the median of income. Most of them were well-educated men. They could have been doing other things and just thought of themselves. But they went ahead and they put self aside and they signed the Declaration of Independence, knowing full well that if they were captured, the penalty would be death. They dedicated themselves to a cause, just like the Maccabees and the people in that day dedicated themselves to the cause, just like these men I shared with you that birthed our great nation dedicated themselves to a cause. The only way the cause of Christ can advance is through His people. He's not going to come back to the earth except to reign and rule. But until He does, the only way the cause of Christ can advance in the earth is through His people. And the only way that happens is through dedicated people. So if I were to pick one topic, it has to be this that would help me make a difference. I would have to say it as dedication, because the definition of dedication is simply nothing but this: the quality of being committed to a task or a purpose. The quality of committing oneself to a task or a purpose. Synonyms of dedication would be devotion, being devoted, diligence, resolve, perseverance. Perseverance means you push on through. One of the definitions of perseverance is, I read this week, perseverance is not a long race. It's many short races, one after the other. In other words, I don't look at the whole long trail, but I just every day keep putting one foot in front of another, and God takes all these successful little races that I run, and eventually He'll make them one long successful race where you can someday say like Paul, I finished the course, I've kept the faith, I finished my race, there's a crown laid up for me. How many of you glad God's got a reward for you? But it comes to the dedicated, the devoted, the diligent. So today I want to ask you to do something with me for about the next 15 minutes or so. I want to ask all of us, because I've done this, and I'm preaching to the choir and I'm preaching to myself. I've done this week. I'm asking you to do this, to ask yourself with me, what are the things that I am the most devoted or dedicated to in my life? To do a little examination with me this morning. Where am I spending all my time? Where am I spending all my energy? Where's all my focus going? Where's all my attention going? And to ask myself, am I spending all that time in places that really make a difference? We have business owners sitting out here, and I think you would all agree with me, to have a successful business, the people you hire, you want them to be people that want to make a difference in your business. Would you agree with that? God's kingdom is no different. We have to ask ourselves, where am I spending my time? Here's the million-dollar question. Am I dedicating myself to things that make a difference? Or am I dedicating to myself to things that really aren't going to matter too much in the end? In other words, do you spend more time studying on Monday morning the statistics of your fantasy football team players than you do God's Word? He who chases fantasy ends up in poverty. I quoted that scripture about 3 weeks ago. Do you spend major time on social media connecting with friends and no time connecting with God? Food for thought, isn't it? Dedication. Am I dedicating myself to things that really make sense? Am I saying there's anything wrong with fantasy football? No. Actually, I'm preaching to myself. I spent too much time watching football yesterday, and I'll admit it. I did. I love college football. I even watched Ohio State and Northwestern for a while last night. I could care less who wins between Ohio State and Northwestern. Casey does. She's from Ohio State. Me, I could care less. But I just love college football. My wife says, yeah, you were dedicated to something else. You should have been helping me decorate the house for Christmas. You get what I'm saying? So this is personal stuff, too. This is not just you, folks. This is me. But it's caused me to examine, if we really want to be difference makers, do you believe we're on this earth to make a difference? You cannot without dedicating yourself to the right things. It doesn't mean some of these other things aren't important. It doesn't mean there's anything wrong with like fantasy football or social media, but where's the balance in life? And I think sometimes we have to just ask ourselves, if I spend all my time doing this, is it really the wrong stuff? Is it really going to matter too much in the end? Or do we examine how we spend our time, our energy, in light of what God would show us the best? Here's an example. Here's a biblical example of what I'm trying to say. This probably says it best. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. It says, this is Paul writing to Timothy, a young pastor. Paul's his overseer, mentor. He said, bodily exercise profits a little. Everybody say a little. But godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. The New Living Translation puts it this way. Physical training's good, but training for godliness is much better, promising benefits in this life and in the life to come. Now, somebody could say, hey, yeah, he said, you know, it doesn't really do much good to work out, so forget working out. Not ever going to the gym again. I'm going to sit home every evening, watch Hallmark movies. I'm going to eat popcorn, corn dogs, and milkshakes, and that's how I'm going to live my life. That is not what Paul's saying. That is an extreme. He said, this is something that profits just a little. So what should be the proportion of your time to that? You know why Paul wrote that to Timothy? Timothy pastored in a world, in a society that worshiped the physical body. They made gods. The Greeks made gods out of humans, out of their physical bodies. That's where the Olympics were birthed out of. And the whole emphasis was upon the human flesh, the temple, this tabernacle. He didn't say it is no use to exercise. He said it is of little use. Here's why. When you're 22, you can pump all that iron, build it up strong. Man, you look fine. But I promise you, when you're 52, no matter how much you pumped it up, it's going to sag when you're 52. It's starting to sag now. You just don't realize that. But it is going to happen because this physical body is going to waste away. So if you spend a disproportionate amount of time doing that, and you, Timothy, neglect your spirit, man, you've got your priorities wrong, and you're not dedicating yourself to the right things, and you're not going to make a difference in this world that lasts and make a difference. So this made me ask myself, what would be the areas that as a follower of Christ that I should make sure I'm dedicating myself to? And I've got three of them. Now, you're probably thinking, that long of an introduction, now 3 points. No, I just got three things to tell you that I think it would be wise for all of us to examine ourselves in light of this question. If I really want to make a difference in those areas, these are important areas, my devoting and dedicating myself to the right things. And the first one would be the thing that God put first. God put family first. How many of you are aware he established family before he established even his church? He put Adam in the Garden of Eden. The first thing he did, gave him a woman. They created a family. They made babies. They had a family. How many knows with that, might be fun creating the babies, but after that comes responsibility. Can you say amen? And it requires being dedicated as a parent. I want to encourage you today, in light of this, if you really want to make a difference, you examine, am I devoting what I need to be devoting to my family? Now, let's lay aside spouse, husband and wife, because we don't have time today. Let's save that for February or something, you know, Valentine's Day. Let's just talk about our kids for a minute. Let me talk to the parents for a moment. I want to particularly talk to the dads. Are you dedicated to the well-being of your children?
I don't mean, yeah, boy, I'll take the break at home every month. I'll work hard.
Good for you. Thank you. Thank you. But it requires more than that. Because you like eating the bacon too, hello. That's why we work. But do your kids get your attention? Or do you come in from work, maybe tired, but maybe wanting to spend a little time on, you know, football or whatever, and they get no attention? If you're doing that, you're setting yourself up for a heartache. I'm convinced the number one problem in America, in our society today, is the absence of fathers. The hole that is left in the heart of children, of no father being there. Now listen to me, we have a lot of single moms in this church. My hat is off to you. I commend you. I almost bow before you. I don't bow before you, but give them a hand. Because they're having to cover two roles. Two roles. But may I talk to the men and say that, do you ever crawl up into bed with your kid and just listen to them at night? Do you take time to sit around the table and talk about their day and how it went? Now, catch this. When they're little, they'll talk. They'll talk too much. But have you noticed when they get older, they talk when they want to talk? Then you got to be smart. You got to be there when they're ready to talk. Because you're not going to pry it out of them when they're not ready to talk. But when they're teenagers, if you're never around, you'll miss those opportunities. I encourage you to fight to be there for those opportunities because they need you there in their lives. God gave you an assignment. I can't tell you how many pastors I've preached for, because for 30-some years we were in a traveling ministry and I preached all over this country and around the world. I can't tell you the number of times I looked at pastors and said, your greatest ministry ministry is not that church. Your greatest ministry is those children that you are raising. That is your first assignment. Do not neglect that responsibility because God entrusted them to you. You go find a dying man and tell me, ask me if he calls his church around him or if he calls his business associates around him. That's not who he calls around his bed. Who does he call? He calls his children around him. And so I just say this morning, let this be a time that I ask myself, am I dedicating my time to things that matter? Your children matter and they need you. Can you say amen? The opportunity of a lifetime's got to be seized during the lifetime of an opportunity. And to dedicate yourself that way sometimes is painful. It means not doing what you want to do and putting that first. That is what dedication is. So the first area is family. Second area that I think is very important to all of us, and that is a four-letter word, work. I heard a few moans right there. Didn't hear too many amens. But how many of those works here to stay? Yeah? How many of you like to eat? Let me just see. Anybody like to eat? Well, somehow they're related, aren't they? In fact, there's a scripture that says, you don't work, you don't eat. Work is here to stay. That's just how it is. But you know, we can have an attitude of just got to get through this because I want a grilled cheese sandwich tonight. Or I can have a little bit more of a diligent, dedicated attitude to my work. Diligence is a synonym for dedication. Doing something diligently, and I'm using that word because of a scripture I'm going to read. Doing something diligently means you do it thoroughly and you do it well. You don't do it lazily and shoddily. In other words, you do the best at the job. If a job is worth doing, it is worth doing well. How many times have you ever heard that in your life? That is what the Bible calls diligence. Here's what Proverbs 21:5 says will happen if you are diligent. The plans of the diligent lead surely to abundance, but everyone who is hasty comes to poverty. In other words, those who just rush through it, just get through it, don't try to do a good job, come to poverty. You know why? Probably the boss keeps watching that and seeing that, and you get laid off. The Bible tells us to be diligent in our work. Now you're thinking, man, I thought this was supposed to be about spiritual stuff. This is spiritual stuff. Because the whole world revolves around this. And did you realize that you are Christ's ambassador in the workplace? Only way he can advance his cause, you said amen when I started this morning, is through people. Do you still amen that? Well, guess what? Your big influence for the kingdom of God is not going to be in this room. It's going to be out there when you walk out the doors, when you literally go into the mission field. Here's a scripture that will help you if you struggle with work. Because we all have to admit, there's days you just got to put one foot in front of another. Remember, perseverance. It's a bunch of short races put together into one long race. And some mornings you don't feel like getting out of bed, but you do because you like to eat. Well, this scripture might help you with that. This is a very important scripture about work. Colossians 3, verse 23. This is a command from the Lord. It says, work willingly at whatever you do, catch this, as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. So in other words, if your attitude is, I'm going to work, and yes, I have a boss and he's my supervisor, but I'm really working for the Lord because I'm here representing him, it will liberate you and it will motivate you. I didn't put it in my notes, but you know there are scriptures where God commanded slaves, people who were slaves, to work just like that for their masters as if they were working for the Lord. You know what might happen? It might just boomerang because here's what happens in all three of these things I'm talking about. If you dedicate yourself to them, there's a funny principle of God that's what you sow, you reap. And if you dedicate yourself to your children when they're little, when you're old, they might not abandon you. Hello. If you dedicate yourself to your work and they see you working diligently because you realize the Lord put me in this job, the Lord gave me this job, your boss may not be able to do the spiritual dynamic of it, but he says, man, there's just something different about that dude. I want him on my team. Let's promote him. I promise you, it'll come back to you when you give that level of dedication. I had a friend, I told this in the first service, kind of kicked myself. I'm going to kick myself again, but I'm going to tell this because it's a true story. A man I went to Bible college with years ago. Went all the way through Bible college. Became a home builder. I saw him many years later building homes. He made a statement to me that surprised me. He said, you know, I really don't try to hire Christians. Now, here's a Bible school graduate that was serving the Lord faithfully. But he said, my experience has been if when I'm interviewing people, they start with, well, hey, I'm a believer. He said, it scares me. Because he said, that's the card they play, it's like, hire me because I'm a believer. And he said, really what I need is people that do the job. And he said, I found some of them, they don't do the job. So he's saying, I don't care what label you put on yourself. And when he told me that, I thought, isn't it sad that some people, not all people, but some people gave him that opinion because of their action. If they would have just taken Colossians 3:23 and lived by that, it would have made a difference for the whole picture. All I'm saying is, I believe when we go out into this world as his ambassadors, his representatives, really, we ought to be the best workers at work. We ought to have the best attitude. That's what it's saying. You don't have to amen or clap. I'm not looking for claps because I'm going to preach it anyway. Because it's in this book. It's right here in this book. But I promise you, it will pay benefit. It will come back to you if you dedicate yourself. Last area, family, work. The third is obvious, the cause of Christ. That's why we exist. Would you agree? As a church, we call ourselves Christians. That simply means a dedicated, disciplined disciple, a follower of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm talking about making a difference where it matters. And nothing matters more than your eternal soul and other people's eternal soul. Period. Would you agree with that? Nothing matters more. This trumps everything. No pun intended toward the president. It trumps everything. It trumps everything because we take nothing else with us. 2 Peter chapter 1 says, therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. One cannot read the book of Acts. And the book of Acts is the history of the birth of the church and the development and growth of the church. One cannot read the book of Acts without realizing they achieved great success in mission in spite of severe persecution and opposition. They suffered great persecution. They had extreme opposition, yet they had great and tremendous success. Now, if there's one verse you remember out of this, I believe it's this one that I'm going to share with you right now. It's the key. Acts chapter 2 and verse number 42. I want you to pay close attention. They'll put it on the screen. But this was the key to their success in mission. And remember, as a church, our mission is to connect people to God. That's our number one mission, is to connect people to God. Their success in it was, according to Acts 2:42, this. All the believers devoted themselves. Let's pause right there. All the believers devoted themselves. Everybody say all the believers. Devoted themselves. Didn't say half of them, a third of them. All of them devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to pray. I'm going to share more on that in January. This is the key to the church. If you call yourself a part of the church, you call yourself a follower of Jesus Christ, you must realize that He is the head of all things to the church. The key is all the believers. How many of you believe the church belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ? How many of you believe He is the head of the church? I'm not talking about just Victory City Church. I'm talking about the church at large. We are part of the most powerful organization on the face of the earth, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. How many of you are glad the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church? That's His promise. That's His promise. However, it requires that we dedicate ourselves. Notice Colossians 1:18 says, and He, Christ, is the head of the body, the church. Ephesians 1:22 says He put all things under His feet, under Jesus Christ, and gave Him to be head over all things to the church. So I'm saying to you, the things that really matter in life, your family, your work, the body of Christ, all of them can be advanced only by the hand of people who are dedicated to the cause. The Maccabees devoted themselves, dedicated themselves to a cause greater than themselves, at great risk, at great injury, but yet worship was reestablished. And you know, if this church exists today because of faithful and dedicated people. I look out across this room and I see Paul Drew sitting out here. Usually plays, but we rotate. But for years, Paul Drew has shown up faithfully to rehearsal, to practice early on Sunday. They come up here like 7:15 on Sunday morning. Nobody's paid him a nickel. He's going to have a reward from the Lord. I promise you that. But he's done it faithfully. I look around this room and look to see people down here like G. Jones on the front row. I'd have called Paul out in the first service, but I just saw him and I called him out. I called out G because I set up for this because I had his picture. This man right here, you know what somebody said to me this week? People probably think G's on staff at the church. He's not. He's a businessman. He's got his own job. But he's here so much, somebody said, people probably think he's on staff at the church. You know where he's at? He's here early every Sunday morning. He makes sure a team of men assemble and pray with me before the first service. He looks after things. He's here both services. He doesn't have to be here both services, but he's here because he's faithful. He's here because he's dedicated. In the first service, Mama Rexine was here. She's up here every Sunday morning by 7 o'clock or before. Most of you don't even know this. You know what she's doing? She's in here walking through this auditorium, praying over these seats you're going to sit in, praying for you because you're going to sit in a seat, praying for your kids. I'm telling you, the cause of Christ only advances because of dedicated people. I sat around this morning with this week with our staff, and as I was, you know, developing this topic in our staff meeting, I said, if I say the word dedicated, who comes to your mind in the church? And I'm going to tell you a whole bunch of names just started being blurted out. I had to almost say, wait. And I kind of had to come down to who I had a picture for. But as many of you, I can't mention all of you, but my hat is off to you. I honor you today. I say thank you for your dedication and your devotion. Thank you. Flo Petrie, always in the first service. Every Sunday morning for years, back in the children's ministry, comes about 7:30 or so and sets up everything in the children's ministry, makes sure all the chairs are set up, everything's in order. Nobody pays her. She comes, and then she goes upstairs to the prayer meeting at 8:30 and prays with people. I'm telling you, the church cannot be what it is without dedicated people. Thank you. Now, I can't name a whole bunch, but I'm going to tell you what you could do. You could get up on your feet and cheer for what we call Dream Team, for everybody that makes a difference. Would you get up on your feet with me? Could we honor them today and say thank you for all that you do? Thank you for all that you do. Some of you watch online live. Some of you watch during the week. There's people that work. They put that there. These people run these cameras, run the sound. They do these things because they're dedicated. They're devoted. It makes a difference. Now, I know we can be all clappy and shouty and feel good and go home and eat lunch and take a nap and watch football, but I'm not going to let you off that easy. I'm going to ask you to ask yourself the question, what would the church be like if everybody had the level of dedication I have? Would it be here? Would it be here for me to enjoy? I'll leave you with that, but I would just say this. What would my family look like if I really devote myself to my family? What would my work situation look like if I really devote myself to work? What will the cause of Christ look like a year from now if I really devote myself to Him? Just because I don't mean just our church. But I'm saying when you walk outside these doors, you're going to be representing Him in whatever area you step into, be it work, be it play, whatever it be. Let's go out of here and let's make a difference. Can we do that? I'm going to ask the worship team to sing part of a song. Love came down. I want you to sing this with them, and I want you to notice this word. I want you to notice love came down. It made a difference in me, and I want you to sing this with them. Then I want to pray over you before you go and ask the Lord to help us to go out of here and make a difference. Come on, sing it with them, would you please?
Love came down and rescued me. Love came down and set me free. I am yours.
Start of the message, I said, today begins Hanukkah, and today begins Advent. Advent is the beginning of the celebration of the fact that God came down to our level. The The biggest difference maker the world has ever known, his name is Jesus Christ. He made the difference. He came and made it possible for us to be different. He came and made it possible for us to be forgiven, to not be guilty, but to be innocent in the sight of God. And the biggest difference you'll ever experience is the difference that takes place when you open your heart and you receive Christ as your Savior. And at that moment, He washes the guilt of all your past sins away and gives you a new beginning, a new start, a fresh start, and you become a child of God at that moment, because by His Spirit, He begins to live on the inside of you. And I'd be remiss if I let us go today and I didn't talk for just a moment and pray with you for just a moment about what can be the biggest difference in your life. And that is the fact that if you've never really taken that step and allowed yourself to open your heart to Him and say, Lord, I want to dedicate my life to You. You gave Your life for me. I want to in turn give my life back to You. It doesn't mean He's going to ask you to go somewhere crazy or weird. All it is saying that I want to live my life every day acknowledging Your presence, You as Master and You as Lord of my life. I need a Savior. I need forgiveness. I need a Redeemer. I've sinned against You and I need forgiveness. And I believe that You died on a cross to pay the penalty for my sins. That's why You came in the first place. That's why there is a Christmas, was so there could be an Easter. And I need You to come into my life today. And right now I'm inviting You in. If that is you, as every head's bowed, would you just raise your hand up high and keep it lifted? I want to pray with you as you keep your hand extended. Please keep it up. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Any others with these, you raise your hand and say, I'm extending my hand to You, God, and I'm saying this prayer today from my heart. I thank You. I acknowledge Your hand, but more importantly, God is acknowledging it today. Let it come from your heart today. Pray this prayer with me and say, Lord God, I do need this difference in my life. Say this prayer. The Bible says it starts with acknowledging you need a Savior. That's why you raised your hand. The next step is believing that He is the answer. He's the Savior. That's why you raised your hand. And the final step is just confessing your sins to Him and inviting Him in. And that's what we do right now. Join me in this prayer. Heavenly Father, thank You for sending Your only Son, Jesus, to the earth to make a difference in my life. I acknowledge I need a Savior, for I've sinned against God. And I'm asking You to forgive me. And because I believe You are the Savior of mankind, I ask You to be my personal Savior and Lord today. Come into my life. I open my heart. I open my life. I open my future to You. In Jesus' name, I believe God's word, which declares I am forgiven at this moment of all my sins, and I am a child of God. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Amen. Now let's give Him thanks today. Thank You for the difference. Thank You for the difference. Thank You for the difference, Lord.